Okay.
I'll try to be respectful.
God, we thank you so much for blessing us with this gathering today, and I pray for Brother Jim as he shares a message with us today. Help him, Father, to just share the truth that you've laid on his heart to share with us, that we can learn and grow and become more like Jesus. Just bless him, Father, as he presents what you've spoken to him through. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, everyone. I was encouraged of all the tributes and honor given to mothers. And again, I welcome everyone here this morning. It's good to see everyone, visitors and all. You know, I was pondering a lot this week about what God would have me share. And our Sunday school lesson just led me right into it. You know, you notice the end of our study this morning in verse 27, there's Jesus suffering for us, laying down his life. And in all his pain and agony that he was going through, there was his mother weeping at the foot of the cross. And I think Jesus was overwhelmed by the sight of his mother there with his brother John at the foot of the cross there. And I'm sure all kinds of things probably flooded through his mind about his mother. The time when he was in Cain at the wedding and she came to him and said, We need you. We ran out of wine. Can you help us? And the interesting thing that Mary said about Jesus when she told the servants what Jesus had asked, well, no, it was even before Jesus told them what to do. She said, whatever he says, do it. Her confidence and her love for her son was beyond a mother and son relationship. It was also a very much spiritual relationship, I believe, she had with Jesus. When she made that statement, she believed with all her heart in the Son of God, her son. So I'm sure some of those things. And then when Jesus couldn't be found anywhere, they had gone to Jerusalem, her, Joseph, and Jesus, and probably some of his other brothers and sisters. I couldn't get exact number of how many were in the family, but I kind of came to the conclusion there must have been roughly about 7 in the family, because it listed some of Jesus' brothers in Matthew 12, and then it says, and sisters. So sisters means there was more than one, so I just put 2 on the end of 5, and I made 7, but there could have been more. So there were more in the family, but they were sick with worry because Jesus had disappeared. Where are you, Jesus? Mary said, it says that Mary asked him, sorrowing, where have you been? Where did you disappear to? We were worried sick for you. And then Jesus said something very much that he was of another kingdom. He just said, don't you know? I was doing my father's business. And as they left, there was something that it said about Mary. Not only did it happen then, but it happened also at Jesus' birth. It says she didn't understand, but she pondered those things. She treasured those things and tucked them away in her heart. So here's Jesus saying to John in the end, behold your mother, his brother John. Behold your mother, which he basically was saying, take care of your mother. She needs you. And the interesting thing says that she went home with John from that day forward and lived with him, and John took care of her. It's interesting, as you do a little study about Mary, and before I go into that, I was also pondering this whole week about our lesson in humility, and Jesse, you did a wonderful job, bless you for that, teaching us about humility and about humbly serving. I was thinking about other women in the Bible that have impacted my life, and not only in the Bible, but also in my world growing up. My grandma was just a simple Amish girl, but she came to the Lord after, well, I think even while she was in the Amish church, but then went on to become a powerful prayer warrior. And that's why I give a lot of credit to her. She impacted me because of her prayer for me and my family, because we were in desperate straits. Our mother, my mom, had lost her mind when I was very young. Basically grew up without a mother and a father. But my grandma had such a simple faith. And I would often go looking for her during the day because we lived in a duplex house. And so sometimes I'd come home from work and I wanted to talk to grandma. I go looking for her and I couldn't find her. And all of a sudden, the closet door opened up. And I thought, Grandma, what are you doing there? And she would just look at me kind of with a little sheepish grin and say, I was praying. And one of her testimonies was, and you probably have heard this, but it has made such an impact on me, how powerful prayer is for our children and for others. But she said, when I am in prayer, she said, I am so lost in my heart for Jesus, she said, and that I want to be so close to him that I grab my thumb while I'm praying and pretend that it's the toe of Jesus, I'm at his feet. And she'd hang on to her thumb while she prayed. What are some women in the Bible that have impacted your life and impacted mine? I'm going to say some names here, and you can, well, I won't say the names. I'll just give some examples, and you say the name for me. A woman in the Bible that gave great honor to her husband, and she said that you are all her daughters. Who was that woman? She gave great respect and honor. Anyone say the name? Sarah. What about the lady that by faith made a basket and put her son in it and just trusted him to Jesus, and because of that, this son became a deliverer, one of the part of God's deliverance for the children of Israel. Who was that mother? Can anyone say her name? Good. I wondered how many would remember that one. Because it doesn't really give her, it's so seldom that her name is given in the Bible. I looked for, do you know where it might be found? Because I looked all over in the Bible where it references Jochebed. I couldn't find it. Someone find it, you can read it. What about the lady, the woman that was in the desert? No food, no water, and the Bible says she wept for her baby because there was nothing, and she couldn't stand the thought of him dying of starvation in the desert. Who was that lady? Hagar. Thank you, Frida. What about the lady who was a worried housekeeper, but she came to rest as she conversed with Jesus, and she said, I believe. Who was that lady? Martha. So are you a worried housekeeper this morning? Well, find peace and rest in Jesus and let him strengthen you in all those worrisome duties. What about the woman that worshiped at Jesus' feet while her sister was scurrying around? Who was she? Yeah, it was her sister Mary. Here's one of my favorites. And she was a lot like my grandma. A praying woman. She was praying so much in the spirit. I guess I'll call him a preacher. The preacher came by and saw her praying and said, you shouldn't be filled with wine. He thought she was drunk. Who was that lady that was accused of being drunk while she was praying in the spirit? And she, who? Hannah, yes. These are just some of them I jotted down this morning that as I grew up and studying the Bible and listening to Bible stories who really impacted my life, and I'm sure they have yours. Well, the lady that said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, who is she? Mary. A lot of Marys. Yes. You know, it's interesting how that whole thing just kind of built up in one. And in the end, there was Mary. And I wonder if she was singing the words, my soul doth magnify the Lord. But you know, there Mary was growing up, a very poor girl. No one paid attention to her, this young Mary. She was born in a very poor family from the insignificant, ugly, smelly little town of what? She grew up. It was a fishing town, and fishing towns smell like fish. Anyone tell me? What town was that? Nazareth, Galilee. In that whole vicinity. A little fishing village, a lot of poor people living there. Eventually, she was engaged to a man named Joseph, who could not promise her affluence, but was a kind man with a stable reputation, a very steady man. And I think he was a godly man. But if you look at Mary's past and her upbringing, she probably would not have been voted most likely to succeed in the world. Well, while Mary was growing up, unknown by the outside world, God had taken note of her and was delighted with her. One day, to Mary's astonishment, an angel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored one. That would be an interesting way to be greeted. The Lord is with you, the angel said. Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. The angel proceeded to tell her she would conceive and give birth as a virgin to the Son of God himself. Instead of recoiling in terror or objecting stubbornly, I love her response. Mary submitted completely to a pregnancy she had to know would give rise to the ugliest of rumors and accusations. There was a cost when she said, be it done according to thy handmaid. Let's just read that account quickly. Found in Luke chapter 1. Just an amazing chapter, and I love this chapter. It encourages me so much as I think of the response, a humble response, one without stubbornness, and one with humility, and just a beautiful, willing submission taking place. See if I can find it here. Okay, let's begin here. Oh, let's see. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, was the angel's message. And the Lord God shall give unto you, unto him, the throne of his father David, in verse 32. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be? This doesn't make any sense. How is this going to happen? I don't even know a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born in of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, and here's her beautiful response, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Submitting to the word of God, submitting to God in humility. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And then here's Mary's beautiful breaking forth of praise. I had several points here I wanted to pull out of this story. And it's not just for mothers this morning, although it is a tribute to a mother who gave birth to Jesus and who submitted and who was humble. The humility, the submitting willingly, the true worship, the praise that comes from all of that. And it brought forth a cheerful, grateful spirit within Mary as you listen to her testimony and her praise. Those things happen when we humbly respond to the Word of God and submit willingly. But let's continue to read here this powerful moment of praise and worship that Mary gives as she is totally set free, I believe, in her heart, and everything just poured forth. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. You know, Jesse, as you read that quote at the beginning of our book, lesson that we had Wednesday night, I couldn't help but go back to that quote. It was a powerful quote. And this is really what happened with Mary, and it should be happening in our lives. But John Ortberg says it so well. He says, humility has to do with submitted willingness. And that's what took place with Mary. There was a submitted willingness. It involves healthy self-forgetfulness. Now, I had to ponder that. Forgetting about yourself. It involves healthy self-forgetfulness. We will know when we have begun to make progress in humility when we find that we get so enabled by the Holy Spirit to live in the moment. That's hard, to live in the moment, that we cease to be preoccupied with ourselves one way or the other. That's not easy. Just living in the moment, and we cease to be preoccupied with ourselves. And you know, it's hard for us to live in the moment because we're always so afraid and fearful what others will think. And so it's hard for us to live in the moment and totally lose sight of ourselves and cease to be preoccupied and think of the moment that God is calling us to. So the first point in my tribute to Mary and the things that we can learn as men and women here this morning is submitted willingness. When Mary submitted willingly, God began to do great things in her life. Even though she knew ugly gossip would flow about her being immoral and impure, it didn't matter. She humbly sacrificed her reputation for the kingdom of God. Her submission to the will of God caused her to break out in song and praise and worship. True worship, point number two, comes from a submitted, humble heart that is set free of self. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. But she went on, she wasn't so much thinking about herself there, although it sounds like it, but she went on to say, God is doing this great thing. And she started giving all glory to God as she goes on in this powerful break forth of praise and testimony. And the third point I'd like to make and learning from this is the freedom that comes to us as we humbly submit to the Word of God and forget about ourselves. It's tremendous. It's just like the burden is gone. Everything's gone, and you're just free and open, and you're not ashamed to praise the Lord in front of others. You're not ashamed to give a testimony because of the freedom from self and the deliverance that you have experienced from yourself and from pride. The fourth point, it brought forth a cheerful, grateful spirit. Do you ever notice people that are just true servants and very seldom ever draw attention to themselves, there is a gratefulness that pours out of their life. You can just feel it when you talk to them. There is no selfishness. It's all gone. It's completely opposite of what Philippians says, do all things without murmuring and complaining. And that is not your first nature anymore. Your first nature is a cheerful, thankful, grateful heart. I'm just about finished here, so hang on. I'll let you go for your Mother's Day celebration soon here. Just a few more words. They, Joseph and Mary, didn't totally understand, but Mary did what she always did. She tucked all these sayings in her heart and pondered them. Until, and here's the part that I love, until God brought forth a clear understanding to her heart. You know, so often when we don't understand something, we write it off and we don't tuck it away and keep pondering it. We just write it off and go on, not Mary. Do you realize that when she was at the foot of the cross, sorrowing for her son, that prior to that, to all of that happening, before Jesus grew up and went into his public ministry, she gave the son to Simeon, her son Jesus, and Simeon took the baby Jesus in his arms, and he made the comment that many shall rise from this son, but many in your own soul will be pierced through with sorrow. And I wonder if that all became so clear as she stood there weeping, because she had pondered and tucked that away in her heart. And God wants to do so much more with us when we have statements that we don't understand. He wants us to wait upon him, as we sang, they that wait upon the Lord. He wants us to wait and tuck them away and ponder them, and he will reveal them to us if we are sincerely seeking him with a heart of sincerity, longing for truth, hungry for truth. He will reveal that. And I love that part about Mary. Twice it says that about her, how she pondered those things and tucked them in her heart. Or it says she kept them, which I just said, I just put there, she tucked them in her heart. And as life unfolded, she began to understand as God began to reveal his truth. And at the foot of the cross, I believe that what Simeon had spoken into her probably just overwhelmed her there. And so often she cringed when during Jesus' growing up time and as he began his public ministry, when he was called a bastard and when he was called a Beelzebub, a devil, and when he was called there were some other things I'd written down that don't come to mind right now, but I'm sure as a mother she cringed. And she didn't, and some of these things that Simeon said to her began to shine forth as she walked beside her son and he was growing up. So my fifth point is, do not forget the words of the Lord when you don't understand them, but ponder and wait for the clarity of truth to be brought to you. This morning, I'm very grateful to all you ladies here, your testimonies, and all the things that you have impacted my life with. And even my wife, she's impacted me so much. Mothers teach us so much about selfless giving. They teach us so much about the love of God, about care and compassion, humility and wisdom. May God bless you all today. and enjoy your mothers. One thing that we all have in common this morning is that we all have or had a mother. We all have that in common, don't we? God bless you all. Okay. Does anyone else have anything you want to add? I know most of you have said things already. If there's anything else you wanted to say, now's your chance. And then we'll just close with prayer. All right, let's rise for closing prayer. Lord God, we thank you for your great love. Thank you for laying down your life and the compassion and the care and the concern you have for each one of us, just as our mothers who have laid down their lives so many times and even their reputation for us. Father, we bless each mother here today and those who aren't experiencing motherhood. Lord, bless them with a special blessing. And Lord, we just pray that we would all not forget the greatest sacrifice and the greatest love is Jesus, your Son, today as we studied how he suffered so much for us. We praise you. Go with each one, Lord, and bless each one as they give honor and tribute and celebrate and draw together as families. May it be a wonderful day, I pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a Savior.
Christmas.